and remove it as far as the east is from the west, because God's already done that for us. Amen? So let's calm our minds, calm our hearts. And I hope you guys are edified by the songs that are sung. That's part of why we sing, to edify each other. People say we come to worship God at church. Well, as Christians, we're supposed to worship God at all times in our life. Amen? But guess what? One of the foundational reasons we come to church is to do. If you look at the epistles, you know what it's to do? Can anybody give me what you think it is? Edify. If you look at everything, I'm given the position I am in the church to edify. You're given the position you are in the church to edify. To edify yourself or each other? Each other, right? So, let's not stay in our seats like there's glue stuck on them, the seat, when we come into church. Let's edify. Let's say hello. Let's walk around. Let's not get stuck in a rut. Amen? So, I'm saying all this because today was a good day for the most part. Some failures today, but some really good study times in the Word of God, and the songs in the service has been lifting me and my spirits up a lot lately. So keep on singing unto the Lord, and let us make a praise to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. God, we need You now. God, we repent of our sins, and as we repent of our sins and confess them, God, may we have the faith to hold on to the promise that You have forgiven our sins and that You've cleansed us from all unrighteousness. God, if we've made failures between our brothers or sisters in the Lord, if we've gossiped, if we've thought wrong thoughts, if we've done wrong things to our brothers or sisters in the Lord, God, may we repent of that. And if done privately, God, deal with it privately. If done publicly, deal with it publicly. But God, please work in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week, I think I had too much information. So we scaled it back, okay? We scaled it back. So we understand that we are transformed by the renewing of the minds. All right? This action, in turn, enables us to, as Romans 12:2 puts it, to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So imagine we're in a courtroom tonight, okay? We are the jury. God is the judge. And well, God is the judge. I mean, He's the one that has, not judge like sitting, but He is the one that has made the law. He is the one that has empowered us to keep the law. And let's think of different, as we're looking at this, let's think of different circumstances coming into that. Maybe a better illustration is coming. Let's do this. Let's pretend we are making tests. We're looking at things. Maybe we're scientists tonight, okay? So everybody has their scientist hat on, all right? We're looking through the microscope at God's beautiful creation. And we're looking through the microscope. And now in the microscope, let's take a circumstance. A circumstance that comes into our lives. All right? Maybe it's a trial. Maybe it's a trouble. Maybe it's something very good, a blessing. What we're going to do is, this is what proof means. We look at it. We examine it. We make decisions about it. Okay? So everybody have that in your mind. You're a scientist. You have a situation. Pick a situation from this week that came into your life. Did everybody have situations this week that came into your life? I hope so, because if you didn't, you'd be dead. All right? So you guys are all alive here. So you're looking at a situation that has come into your life. All right? Does everybody understand what I'm... Okay. So what is happening now? We're proving. Proving means to make trial of. Put to proof. Examine. We, of course, understand that the judge and examiner is the individual that has allowed the transformation process to renovate their thinking, feeling, and disposition. There's two ways that we can look at situations in our lives. There are two fields of testing, if you will. One field of testing is this world and the mold it wants to make you fit in. Another mode of testing is what? The what type of life? Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Okay, so other mode of testing is transformed. By the what? Remaking of your mind. What is the remaking? What has been renovated in you. Now I'm doing a very big study on justification for Sunday's message. And in that study of justification, I found it very interesting that part of our justification and mark of justification is, guess who moves on us? It's one of the part of the Godhead. Which one would you think it is? The Spirit moves, right? So this transformation of mind, who does the moving? Who does the work of that transformed mind? The Spirit. Who remakes your thinking, okay? So a situation comes into life. Conforming to this world would say, I'm going to react in anger. I'm going to react in how my flesh tells me to react. I'm going to react by what I see. I'm going to react by how I feel. I'm going to react by how this puts me in my position of life. That's the confirmation of this world, the conforming nature of this world. But then the Holy Spirit says, no. Let me transform you. Like, you have the new nature in you at salvation. You have new life. Now the fullness of our adoption is going to happen when we receive the purchase of a new body. Who purchased our new body for us? Jesus Christ. And that is the fullness of our adoption. When are we going to be bodily full heirs of what God has given to us by the cross? When we receive our what? Our resurrected bodies. Now these resurrected bodies are also going to enable us to look at things so differently. We're going to see Jesus face to face. Correct? So, what do we have until then? We have an earnest. We have a seal. We have something living within us called the Holy Spirit. And He's there to use the transformed part of our nature, that renewed spirit, that made alive again spirit. And through that alive again spirit, He wants us to use that spirit to examine our lives. Now, if we allow this transformed in man to examine, what does it produce? What does it produce? It produces things that are good. The quality of a matter, is it moral, upright, or is it spoiled by the prince in the power of the air? The spirit that works in the hearts of the children of disobedience. How many have ever let a situation come into your life and you didn't allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind? And you didn't do good in your reaction to that situation. Yes, yes, yes. We didn't allow our renewed mind to examine how our action should react to that situation, right? Guys, this happened to me today. Happened to me today. I had to fall down and say, God, that was wrong. Please forgive my foolishness. Right? It wasn't good. My decision was not good. Why? Because I didn't allow the transformed mind. I didn't allow the transformed life to renew my mind. I let discouragement, I let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes produce a pride of life that put me above God and His Word. And because I did this, guess what else I did? I didn't do things that were acceptable. What is acceptable? Well-pleasing. Acceptable. Using reference to God. That which God wills and recognizes. Are you doing acceptable things? Ephesians 5:10. Proving that is what is acceptable unto the Lord. Philippians 4:18. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Stop there. What did God make all of us the day we accepted Him? He made us kingly what? There's two things. I'm a king and I'm a priest. So now, what am I offering to the Lord? Are they well pleasing? I'm offering something. Now, Christian, this should matter to you. What are you offering? Something that's well pleasing to the Lord, that's acceptable in His sight? If you're conforming to anything that is not of God, instead of allowing God to transform you by the remaking of your mindset, the remaking of your inner man, how many times do we offer God spoiled things in our action? Right? Spoiled. Not good smelling. How many of you would like me to offer you a rotten egg? Well, stinks, right? How many times have I not allowed the renewing of my mind to offer on the offering? What is the Christian to offer? Romans 12, verse 1. Okay. So it says it like this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Oh my goodness. Yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, where is the altar of sacrifice for the Christian? Well, it's living. And what's to be, what is the mechanism? Your bodies. Are we just allowing, guys, this is really, really practical and simple, but it's impossible to do without the power of God. So every thought that enters in my mind, what should I be looking at it? With things that are conforming to the world, or things that are being renewed by the inner man? Every thought should be looked at. Every decision. Size of decisions like breathing. But every decision, God. How much do we pray? That's why Christian has to pray without ceasing. Because all through the day we should be thanking God. We should be saying, God, what are you trying to teach me through this situation? How do you want me to deal with this situation? What do you want me to do in this situation? You know what this means? This means that parents and children should be constantly praying to the Lord, if they're Christians, about how they should be reacting to each other. They should look at their actions and temptations, and they should be opening the Word of God, and they should be looking at the new nature given to them, directed by the Holy Spirit, and saying, how does God want me to react to this situation? That means in the church, and we're doing this on a purpose, because we're talking about Christian service now. And the part that we're talking about is a consecrated life to the Lord. That is what we're called to do as Christians. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for it is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Well, you don't know. My parents haven't done everything right, and they disappointed me. And because they disappointed me, I'm going to react in a way that's disrespectful. Because I can't understand what they're trying to tell me, so I'm going to react in a way that pleases myself, because I've been taught by this world to listen to my heart. Right? Listen to your heart. That's the message of this world. That's what it's always trying to conform you to. In our day, me comes first. The big old God of I. And we let the big old God of I conform us to what it wants instead of what God wants. Before we know it, we're making horrendous decisions that we never thought we'd make. Well, it's quite simple, Christian. We didn't prove. We didn't allow the transforming power of God to help us in our decision making. How many have ever gone through a time of temptation that you yield to? And as soon as the fun of the temptation was over, does everybody know what I'm saying? You thought in your mind, why in the world did I make that decision? How many have ever been there? Hello? Because we conformed ourselves to the pattern of this world, to the pattern of disobedience towards God. And we didn't do those things that were sweet-smelling to the Lord. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So what are we doing? Well, the God of creation, our Heavenly Father, has allowed us, because of the purchased power of Jesus Christ, to be part of His family. And in being part of His family, He's given us new life. And that new life is trying to give this broken, deceptive body direction. And what do? We sometimes listen to the deceptive desires of the body instead of the direction of the Holy Spirit. And if we do that long enough, what happens to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Gets quieter and quieter. And we start to enter the road of temptation, right? And God is saying, through preaching, through Bible study, here's a way of escape. Here's a way of escape. Here's my way. Prove this situation through the renewing of your mind. Yeah, somebody hurt you. Prove this situation through my word. Prove this situation through the new spirit that I have. Examine my answers for your problems and then expect my power as you trust and yield to my answers to do the work in you. Because that's your right as a Christian. But no, we say, no, I'm going to continue down this because it's what feels good. And then we talk ourselves into all sorts of crazy compromises, don't we, Christian? Why? Because we silenced the voice of the Spirit. We're making decisions out of a mind that has not been renewed, but has been conformed. Perfect means unspotted by this world. What's the only part of you that's unspotted by this world? Well, yeah. The new life that entered you at the point of your salvation, the very moment of your salvation, was it sometimes life or eternal life? Guys, be thankful when God convicts you. Repent, forsake, confess, ask God, follow God's path, and then expect Him, because it's a promise made to you. Expect Him as you draw nigh to Him, as you listen to Him, that He'll draw nigh to you, and He'll revive that power in your life to say no to temptation. Look, I've said yes to some temptation. Hello? But I don't want to continue down that road of saying yes to temptation. I want to offer my body a living sacrifice so God can do His work in His purchased possession, which is my body. Why? Because the love of God constraineth me. Moms, you remember when you gave birth to that first child? some of you moms in here. And remember, you are a new mom. You didn't have any experience. That baby was so needy, right? Needy little helpless baby that inflicted pain. What constrained you to take care of that baby? Love. Did it have anything to offer you? Were you like, okay, baby, $5.99 and you get fed today? Is that what you said? No, love constrained you. Christian, how are we going to yield to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives? The only way is through love. Love is the only way that can constrain us, can call us against the desires of this body. So, perfect means unspotted by the world. There seems to be a correlation with the proving process and the work of the Spirit in an individual. Now, Galatians 5:17 through 26 shows us the work of the flesh as compared to the work of the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things which ye would. Ah. So, Christian, you want to desire to do good in the new nature, but there's a problem. You have this corrupted body, but this corrupted body has a down payment that you are a child of God, that you've been adopted by God. And that down payment is the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit and the new nature of a Christian is warring against the spirit of the flesh. Does everybody understand? And they'll never come to a peace treaty. How many of you have ever tried to say, you know what, I'm going to work in the flesh, but I'm going to still be okay with God because I didn't do this? Christian, have we all not been tempted with that? There's no peace treaty with the spirit and the flesh. None. They're constantly at war. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, fleshly things that have to do with an improper way that God has created for us to be pleasing unto Him and have marital relationships, right? By the way, if I look after a woman to lust with after her in my mind, I have committed what, according to the Word of God? Your flesh will tempt you to commit adultery in your mind nonstop, especially in the world that we live in. Amen? Everywhere we walk, and look, I'm not putting men. We're not putting the struggle with our mind on women. Does somebody understand that? We can have a pure mind if we go to God. Now, ladies in this church, it should matter if you're a Christian how you're presenting yourself. If you love others, you're going to present yourself in a way that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Okay? So, the next thing we see is idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Oh man, these are making myself my own God. Now I'm going to be my own God. And you know what happens when you make yourself your own God? You're filled with wrath. You're always fighting. You're always breaking off into sections. And if yourself is the God of your own life, you have some lessons that you try to teach yourself too that are against the Word of God. Envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you before now, I have also told you in times past, that they which do such thing are not inheritor of the kingdom of God. Man, if you live in these lifestyles and that's what fulfills you in life, there's a problem. These things aren't to fulfill a Christian. Can we fall into them? Yes. but they're not to fulfill us. When we fall into these things, what should we do? We should fall on our knees and confess our sins and know that God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to say, I wasn't depending on Him when this situation came in, and therefore I made this decision that was against the Word of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lust. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Huh. Now, churches, what is this saying? Hey, don't you know that when you got saved, you were crucified with Christ, and the power of sin was broken? God has now given you power over sin. So if that is the case, let's order our lives according to the direction of the Spirit. That's the renewing of the mind. That's the working through of what God has given to us in our salvation. Now, what I want to do is to say that chapter 12 through 16 of Romans shows us the gospel lived out. And we are at the conclusion of the first part of this section, and that is the personal consecration. So let's make these three keys for knowing the will of God. First, yield your bodies, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Second, live a sacrificed life, living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Third, a transformed mind, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Christian, there's three things that are keys to knowing the will of God. First, yield your what? Bodies. Second, live a what type of life? A sacrifice life. God, it's your life, not mine. Third, make decisions through a transformed mind. A transformed life that will renew your mind. If you do those three things, that's the key to knowing the will of God. A lot of people say, Pastor, how do I know the will of God? I just gave you the answer. If you're doing those things, don't you think God is going to lead you in the decisions of life? A lot of times, in closing, we want to make decisions in our life by what the world has conformed us to do. And there's some wisdom in some of the things the world offers as far as direction, as far as making decisions on how to where and how to put your money. There's some wisdom in that. But that isn't the keys to living a life that is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. The key are those three things. Yield the body, sacrifice life, transform mind. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done. God, we pray that you would use this to help us in our decision making. May you transform us by the renewing of our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies, I've given you some time.